He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning, bright and early, January the 12th, the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We have a downdraft in the markets, the equity markets today, but a huge lift in gold today. And we'll get to the reason why here in a bit. But right now, the Dow is down 200 points, but it hit a new all-time high on Friday. So who's complaining? We're at 49,303. The S&P 500 is down 7 so far this morning. That hit a new all-time high also on Friday. It's at 6,958, closing in on 7,000. The NASDAQ is down 19 points this morning. It did not hit a new high on Friday. It's at 23,652, however, which isn't too bad. And the Russell 2000 down about 4 points today to 2620. It also hit a new high last week. The real news today is in gold as it hits a new all-time high. And our gold holdings are doing very well today here at the firm. Gold is up 2.5% today to 4,612. That's an all-time high. Silver's up 7% today.
I saw that in your note this morning.
Ooh,
yeah,
7%. I'll say. And we've got the 10 years at 4.19%. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. Never a dull moment. NADM, I guess, is my new little abbreviation for the markets, especially under Trump. You know, with Trump in office, there's never a dull moment. NADM. And today is no exception. We do have a couple of hot spots still around the world, obviously. We'll talk about those. But the big news today came in last evening about Jerome Powell. He's our Fed chairman. He succeeded Yellen, who succeeded Bernanke, who succeeded Greenspan, and it goes on and on and on. And apparently, you know, Trump and Powell have not got along for some time, and they don't seem to like each other too much.
And that goes back from the first administration.
Yeah.
I mean, Trump was a little mad. Remember when we talk about when Powell became the Grinch,
yeah,
right? End of 2018, he was raising rates and then basically reversed decision and began lowering them immediately because he was wrong. And so,
yes,
I think Trump's been on him ever since that day.
Yes,
actually. But.
And then during the COVID period of time, he was very much behind the curve. Of course, that was an extraordinary event we went through, but still, when you've got to do 4 75-point rate hikes in a row at 4 consecutive meetings, that's
the definition.
Draconian.
Yeah, that's the definition of behind the.
Yeah, that's very draconian. But okay, let's pick up where we left off on Friday. We left off on Friday with a new all-time high in the Dow. You can't complain about that. We left off Friday with a new all-time high in the S&P 500. You can't complain about that unless you're a bear and you're short the market, which wouldn't be a good place to be. We ended up with a new all-time high for the Russell 2000. Gold was hovering at or near an all-time high. Silver's been at a all-time high. And, of course, oil prices are very low right now. We're at $56, $57 per barrel. Bitcoin continues to tread water around $90 at $90. So we ended the week on a high note on Friday, and we did not get a ruling on the tariffs from the Supreme Court And I don't know when that's going to come, but they kind of kicked the can down the road a little bit. We'll look at that later. And Bessent says, don't worry. He's our Treasury Secretary. We've got plenty of money to pay back the tariffs just in case something happens, which
that was good. I'm glad he let us know that. That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
I was wondering about that.
It's good that we're not going to bounce a check to Costco and all the guys that bought little HO model trains during that period of time. We're also got earnings season really tomorrow. You know, the gun will sound and they'll come marching around the bend, and it's going to be the big financials, the JP Morgans of the world and the Citigroups, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley will be reporting. And so here we are again to another earnings season. But again, federal prosecutors open criminal invest. It's hard for me to see Jerome Powell behind bars, right next to Maduro, maybe. Investigation into Fed Chairman Powell. It seems to be over the renovation. Well, that's what it is. It's the renovation of the Washington headquarters, and whether or not Powell lied to Congress about the project's scope. We do know that it came in way, way over budget. And, you know, I think they trimmed back on some of their extravagant plans, like private escalators and private dining rooms for policymakers. You know, they've got a very important job being on a policymaker. And the lawsuit relates to the $2.5 billion renovation, citing incompetence. Well, is it criminal to be incompetent, Barry? If that were the case, there'd be a lot of people in prison these days, right? Well, I see incompetence almost everywhere.
Incompetence, a low bar.
Yes, okay. As far as wasting government taxpayer money, I don't know if you can hold that. There would also be a lot of people in prison. I mean, most of the congressmen and women and senators, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, expensive toilet seats have been, you know, kind of a reality and a joke on, you know, in Washington, D.C. for a long time. So this would be, you know, kind of would fit, seems to be like it would fit in that category almost.
Yeah. I mean, the 2021 version of the Fed's proposal describe private elevators and dining rooms for top policymakers, water fountains, new marble features, and a rooftop terrace. Well, that'd be nice. Maybe some hors d'oeuvres there at sunset. And at a congressional hearing in June, Powell denied that many of these features were part of the latest proposal. Well, okay, I don't know. But the thing is way over budget, like $800 million, way behind schedule. And Trump coming from that industry. Of course, he's building a ballroom onto the west wing of the White House, tore up the Rose Garden. So there's some renovations taking place. There's some money being thrown around there in Washington, D.C., like there usually
General contractors are doing well.
They're doing well, yes. And the water fountain guys and the marble guys and the gold fleur-de-lis guys, they're doing well. But anyways, it rattles the markets from the standpoint. And I'll tell you, that was what really sent gold soaring the first time, because gold fears that a non-independent Fed would be pretty much controlled by the presidents. And every president, I've never known a president yet that wanted to raise interest rates. They all want to lower rates to help right. with their polls and their reelection efforts and all this and that. And gold, so gold does not like that, because gold fears inflation, or gold likes inflation, actually. And that's why you're seeing gold soar today. And even though the market's down, I was shocked when I opened up our page, which shows all of our holdings and the net sum thereof. And we were up almost 0.5% this morning, because companies like Barrick Gold, gold itself, Agnico Eagle, and other gold stocks, IAU, they were soaring this morning, and that is overcoming. And then there were also some, the nuke stocks are off to a good start here today, and some of the AI stocks like Teradyne and Palantir and Broadcom and Western Digital all off to a good start. Vistra's tacking on a little more after it signed that big deal with Meta last week for nuke power going forward. The ones under pressure today a little bit, the credit card issuers and maybe some of the big banks, as Trump is proposing a 10% cap. Check out Affirmed during the break, Barry. What would that do to these small lenders? I mean, they're charging really high rates.
Affirmed down 5 or 6% earlier today. I was taking a look at it. But, yeah, we'll touch on that when we come back from the
10%
break.
Rate cap on credit, that would be devastating to a lot of the Capital Ones of the world, let's say, and some of these make four payments for your train set, guys. Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Powell's not going down without a fight. In fact, the odds of him staying on, he can't stay on as the head of the Fed, but he can stay on as a Fed governor. I think he's got 2 years or something like that left on his term, but he claims, in an extraordinary statement, he asserts that the grand jury subpoenas served by the Department of Justice are not about legitimate legal concerns, but rather punishment for the central bank's refusal to set interest rates according to President Donald Trump's preferences. Well, I can see his point, too, Barry.
Probably, I mean, makes good sense, actually.
Never a dull moment, with Trump as president. This threat is not about my testimony last June or about the renovation of the Federal Reserve building, Powell said in a statement. The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public rather than following the preference of the president. And Janet Yellen also weighing in, saying this is a chilling development that the president, of course, now on Trump's side, he says he knows nothing about the Fed investigation, which is a little bit hard for me to believe. I can't believe the Department of Justice wouldn't, hey, guess what, we're going to serve criminal subpoenas on your Fed chairman. And Trump denies the rate motive. He says, I don't know anything about this investigation, but he's certainly not very good at the Fed, and he's not very good at building buildings. Okay, so no love lost between Trump and Powell. Okay.
Wow. And don't forget, this is the current Fed chairman. I mean, it's pretty wild. I mean,
he's going to be making the decision here in a few weeks about where we go from here. After the Fed lowered rates to 3.75. Okay, the crisis.
We've got a 5%. And by the way, on Friday, I looked at what the chances of a rate cut are in the January meeting, and it was literally 5%, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I figured it was about the same as the Chargers beating the Bills or the. No, the Chargers lost to New England, my old Chargers. I divorced the Chargers. I left them behind in California. When they went from San Diego to L.A., I was done with them.
Their quarterback probably wished he was back in San Diego. He went through a meat grinder yesterday.
Eric Coryell, you got brutal. Rid of the ball quickly before you could get tackled. Yeah. That's the idea. Step back. Dan Fouts would take a couple steps back and throw it 80 yards down the field to John Jefferson and waltz into the end zone. That's the way to play football, in my opinion. But anyways, on a more weighty matter, Trump weighs his options on Iran. That's a scary deal that they've turned off the internet. And it sounds like they're executing hundreds of people. And, of course, they can't send anything out from Iran. Something's got to give there. That's a very, very scary thing. And, yes, we do have to mention stuff like that as it relates to the world.
To the market.
And in the world of investing, the bond market, interest rates, defense, everything, oil prices, everything. So anyways, the tension in Iran has gone up. It almost seems like it's going to come to a head this time around, and maybe Khomeini is on his last legs as a leader there in Iran. Most of the other guys, Hezbollah is gone, and the guy from Hamas is gone.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are gone.
But that Ayatollah, he's been a sore on the world for a long, long time. Earnings week ahead. On a happier note, tomorrow, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, BlackRock, PNC Financial. Earnings season is going to begin, and I can tell you where the bar is set as we begin this quarterly earnings season. If you're new to the markets, this is something we go through every 90 days. It's the earnings parade. It lasts pretty much the entire quarter.
Yeah, the scorecard, right?
It's the scorecard, and it has everything to do with the value of the stock market because the market takes its cue from earnings. Earnings, earnings, earnings. And the second most important factor in the stock market is interest rates, interest rates, interest rates. And those two determine what the market's worth on any given day or, 12 months out. And it really drives the market. It's been driving the market since it bottomed in 08 and 09. Earnings have been going up for the S&P 500 every year except for the COVID year since then. And we're looking for record earnings for 2025, which the last quarter is being reported, beginning tomorrow. We're looking for record earnings this year, and we're looking for record earnings next year. And that's why the market remains very bullish. And that's why you see these sell-offs in the market, they're bought, and the market marches on to new highs. And as long as those earnings estimates remain where they're at now, you're going to continue to see bullish action in the market. You can fight the earnings all you want. It's like fighting the tape or fighting the Fed. You can't fight that fight because earnings will win out and they will crush you. On Thursday, we get Taiwan Semiconductor, which is probably one of the top three semiconductor-related companies in the world, along with, for sure, NVIDIA. And of course, you got ASM Lithography, and you've got AMD. You've got some other important ones. Broadcom's an important one these days. And then we'll get a few more on Friday. So this week, it's mostly the financials, okay? I did a Greenland edition in the newsletter. It was the Greenland edition. I was not in Nuuk when I published it. I tried to find a flight to Nuuk just to check it out, maybe explore. Maybe, you could rent a shovel and a little bucket. Maybe go digging for some rare earth minerals or something, Barry.
I liked your picture. I liked the picture on the front. I was meant to tell you.
Wasn't that pretty? Get the northern lights. Does it ever daylight there? I guess it is. I don't know.
I think when you get up that high, I think you get, either mostly dark or mostly
long winter.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of days for sunbathing.
Right.
But I put in a little restaurant review from Nuuk's favorite restaurant and a hotel review just for fun. And I also put in three stocks. I'm not saying to go out and buy them. I'm just saying, look, here's three that I've dug up that have exposure to Greenland. And Greenland says they don't want to be run by Denmark, and they don't want to be run by the United States. They want to remain independent. The fact of the matter is, the land mass is immense. It's the largest island in the world. It's bigger than Australia, and it has 57,000 people that live there. We have more people than that right here in Mount Pleasant. Barry, in this little neck of the woods.
We might have that many people in some of these neighborhoods around here.
On the roads in the morning. But it's a vast expanse, and they sure want to get their hands on it to mine, though, with the gold at $4,600 an ounce and rhodium at whatever price it's at these days. They want to get their mitts on it. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about a little bit on the tech land, okay? We'll be right back. Here's in a bad bleed, and I wonder what it's good for.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Now, just a moment ago, we had breaking news that Apple is going to use Google's AI, Gemini 3, which got all the raves from Salesforce's CEO Mark Benioff, and that sent Google soaring. Google has really been a good pickup for us since we bought it. Google has had nothing but good news here recently. Number one, they had the chips, the AI chips that Meta's buying. Their Gemini has seemingly surpassed OpenAI as far as its power capabilities. That's, I guess, why Apple has chosen it. And Google has passed Apple in market cap. Google's hitting $4 trillion this morning. That's only, I think that's the second company. The first one, obviously, is NVIDIA, which hit $5 trillion. And Alphabet is hot on its heels. It's only a trillion behind, but it's a $4 trillion market cap company. It has surpassed Microsoft by quite a bit, half a trillion ahead of Microsoft. So that's really good news for Google. That is one of our largest positions. We own it in our premier growth portfolio, one of the 21 stocks, I think, that we own there. And we own it in our relative value portfolio. We picked it up when it was on a relative basis, based where its P.E. ratio has been over the years and in relation to other tech stocks like it. We felt like it qualified for that portfolio at that time, and we own it. So it is one of our largest positions, probably one of our top five positions.
And just been on, in terms of AI story, has just, you know, had win after win after win lately. I mean,
yes, 100%. Okay, now we're gonna go back to Iceland just for a moment, because there is an interesting article here as to why that this so-called, gold mine or rare earth mine underground has not been tapped as of yet. And it comes down to the Gordon Lightfoot song, "There Was a Time in This Fair Land," he's talking about Canada, "when the railroads did not run." And, of course, Canada was a vast, not as foreboding as Greenland, but it was a vast challenge to build a railroad there from coast to coast, and to get access to the rich, gold deposits, uranium in Canada, silver, lumber, etc. And I love that song, the Railroad Trilogy song. Well, that's Greenland's problem. They don't have the infrastructure. You just don't. You've got to build a road. You've got to build what happens when you start pulling tons of whatever you're pulling out of the ground. How do you get it to the market? So you lack all of that infrastructure that would have to be built. And a lot of experts on rare earth say there's easier places, lower hanging fruit right now
to get it,
to go after, than to try to build this infrastructure in Greenland. But I think there's something about the unknown of Greenland. What is under that tundra, that frozen stuff?
Well, and the strategic, where it is, right?
Yes, and the strategic
and China and Russia, kind of touring the Arctic unabated at the moment.
Yes. I imagine the fishing holes you might be like Lewis and Clark maybe back in the old day. But, and Trump's motives are good. I mean, he wants to get away from dependence on China. having the rare earth. China has 70% of the rare earth that's been found in the world, but China has 92% of the capacity for refining the rare earth, which is another issue. It's a dirty process. It takes toxic kinds of chemicals to separate the rare earth. And they have a different kind of rock in Greenland than we have here in the United States. And nobody, as of yet, has been able to profitably separate that rare earth from that type of rock. But you've got the determination of Donald Trump, who doesn't give up easily, who's pretty determined. He says something's going to happen in Greenland one way or another. And that's why I wrote the Greenland edition of the newsletter on Friday, if you didn't get it, the cover article. Now, Greenland wants to develop their tourism industry. I don't see that as being a big boon to Greenland. I think there's a lot more money there to be had amongst the Greenlanders by going after the untapped resources.
We got to get their life expectancy up a bit. Was it 71? I think. When you had it in your when you showed the size of Greenland in the newsletter. Yeah, men are 71. I guess what is it here? Like 78-ish, 77?
Yeah, Bob Weir died yesterday at age Saturday at age 78. I'm surprised he made it to 78. To be honest with you, the founding member of the Grateful Dead, along with Jerry Garcia, one of the last real guys from my era. There's still plenty of them out there, but they're dying off one by one.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I've seen him once before, and one of these. I don't know. He kind of reminded me of like a wizard or like Gandalf from.
The Grateful Dead definitely had their following. My wife and I still like to go see. Grateful. We have one here in Charleston. The Grateful Brothers. No, what's their name? I can't think of their name.
I know who you're talking about.
They play
like
every Wednesday
band.
At the Poorhouse, and all the deadheads are spinning around and everything. And it's quite a thing to go to. I enjoy it. We used to go. I don't spin around, but I watch. It's fun to watch them spin around and twirl and everything. And even the kids, you know, are twirling and spinning around. They're in another world when they're playing Fire on the Mountain or Scarlet Begonias always gets them going. But anyway, 78 years old. Okay, now back to Google for a moment. back to Greenland for a moment. You've got some formidable logistical challenges. Greenland supposedly has 1.5 million tons of rare earth elements, but obviously getting to it, it's a very remote place. I looked for a flight just for fun. I'm looking for a flight. I couldn't find one. I don't know how many flights go into Nuuk from the United States on a daily basis, if there's any. I don't know how you get there. And they're not really for it. They're pretty green in Greenland. Maybe that's why they got the name Greenland. I don't know. They don't want people coming in and messing up the environment and the earth and everything like that. Although we're doing it in Las Vegas in Nevada there at MP Materials. And Australia's got a lot of projects. But if you want to see what those three stocks were, one of them's 15 cents. Now, after my article on Friday, I'll have to look and see what it's doing today. One of them was $1.50.
Volume boost.
It's a $150 million market cap. And then, of course, the one everybody knows about, if you listen to this show, Critical Metals, CRML, which I disclose I have a little bit in my back pocket just for fun. Okay, credit card interest rates, 10% cap for 1 year. And that's hurting especially the high-risk lenders. Capital One tends to be one of those, Synchrony to some extent. Now, the other ones, not as much, the Citigroups, the MasterCards, and the Visas. And then you've got, Swarna, what's the one that just went public, not Swarna.
Oh, Klarna. Yeah, Klarna.
Yeah, out of the Netherlands. And then you have, let's see, I'm just going to look at a firm real quickly because I'm sure they're charging way more than 10%.
Yeah, if a firm was down about 6% today, yeah.
Affirmed is down 5.7%, and Klarna, which has got to be K L R N,
Where did they IPO at? That'd be interesting to see where they IPO'd and where they're at now.
They're high risk stocks, and I mean, if you're going to loan somebody buying on Amazon, you got to believe that's
K L A R.
K L A R is got to be down today. It's down 3.4%.
IPO'd at $40, and it's at $30.35 today. So
now the other rare earth is lithium, although it's not as rare as some of the other rare earths. Lithium prices are surging today as China is set to revoke their battery export tax rebates. And I've been watching Albemarle up in North Carolina, ALB. I've been watching SQM way down in Chile, Lithium America, LAC, which is out Nevada way, Lithium Argentina, LAR, and Sigma Lithium, SGML. They're all making some new highs today. When we come back, we're going to take a look at a chart of gold and silver. You got to go. Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show on this eve of the kickoff of earnings season tomorrow. You know, gold had a terrific year last year. I'm just going to look up the results of gold last year. And, of course, silver was the number one asset class in the entire market last year. Gold, by the close of the market on on December 31st, gold had a year of 64.4%. That's the best gain I've ever seen since I've been in the industry. I don't remember a better year than that. And it could, you could say that the play on the best asset play when Trump got elected was gold and silver. I mean, who would have ever guessed that? But gold has done very, very well. And gold fears the Fed losing their independence from the president. And it feels, at least gold investors feel like it's being threatened to lose its independence by this pressure that Trump has applied on Powell to lower rates. And, of course, he hasn't gotten his way. He's gotten one rate cut, quarter of a point, here recently. But gold has reacted in this huge positive fashion with last year's 64% gain. And silver last year was up, I think, 130%. It was some just astronomical number. Silver's at $82 per ounce. I remember not that long ago when it was in the low 20s, and I remember not that long ago when gold was $1,800 per ounce, which makes Greenland all that much more, the potential. Who knows how much gold and silver is buried in that area. And you've also got to, who wants to spend the money to go to Greenland and build infrastructure? And it's still, the amount of resources there is still hypothetical. It hasn't been proven. Those reserves aren't proven. But they have done, some surveys and et cetera, and have come up with some pretty lofty estimates of how much is there. But look at the chart.
Pretty much on the beach, right? Or I mean, on the cliffs on the side.
Well, that's the only place there's infrastructure,
right?
Right. So I mean, Lord only knows about the places they haven't been to. But they'd have to start down there where there's population, and then you have to have the labor force there also to work the land. But I think that can be overcome. I'm sure there's plenty of people. Remember the big boom in Fargo?
Well, I mean,
North Dakota and the people Klondike. Moving there. And
yeah, the Klondike. We made it in Alaska in the, in the late 1800s, so I'm pretty sure we could do it with today's modern technology.
Right? Set up a Levi's outlet over there to sell the Levi's and the picks and the shovels and give them some sourdough bread and some sleeping bags and one of those coffee pots that you hang over an open fire, you know.
Maybe the 26ers, is that what we call them now?
Yeah. Instead of the, and then we'd have the Nook Fort, not the 49ers, the Nook 26ers, right, football team. Did the 49ers end up,
they beat Philly. Yeah, they beat Philly. That was
I got a neighbor, he's from the Philly area, and I couldn't even find a parking spot on my street yesterday. He's having some kind of major party. Went home chagrined. And, of course, the Panthers, I can't believe how they lost to the Rams. That's a tough one. That's the Chargers. Yeah. That was the Chargers' favorite trick, to give up a lead and with 2 minutes to go, you know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those games were, the team that was leading with 2 minutes left lost, actually. So.
Yeah. Well, gold is not losing today. A new all-time high. The GLD ETF now has $159 billion in it. I got to believe, too, that, you know, all this massive amount of ETFs that are out there. And, you know, gold used to be kind of hard to buy and sell.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
You had to take physical possession, or someone had to store it for you. You had store it. Now, you know, we own an ETF that owns gold. We own GLD.
And the reason we own, you know, those are, you know, GLD and what I think IAU is one we've owned before, too.
We currently own IAU also.
And they're backed by the actual, you know, backed by the actual bullion, which is, in our opinion, when you're buying these ETFs, you want one backed by the actual bullion versus, you know, buying a futures contract in gold.
Right? Yes. Then we have one of our largest positions is Barrick Gold, which... I bought in, it's one of the 21 stocks that we own. That's a pretty select list there.
Easy symbol to remember. Just B.
Yeah, B. Somehow they got B, which used to be Barnes Group at one time.
We own Citigroup right now, so we've got C as well.
Yeah. If we owned Agilent, we'd have the whole ABC of, and then D is Dominion. E. Mm-hmm. I have them all memorized.
I know you do. That's why I was going to see how long you could. I figured we were going to finish the show with you just rattling off the single,
you can remember
names.
Barrick Mining is the biggest gold miner in the world. It's $84 billion in market cap. It's headquartered in Toronto, Canada. Who knows? Maybe Nook will be the gold capital of the world someday. But Barrick also pays a dividend yield of 1.2%, so you can get a dividend on your gold holdings. But it is breaking out to a new all-time high today. You know, Barrick sat there for the longest time in that mid-20 area. Now all of a sudden it's doubled and it's $49 per share. Well, we have run out of time. Never a dull moment. Another edition of Never a Dull Moment Hour on the Best Stocks Now show. And, of course, if you want to get a newsletter, read about the Greenland edition from Friday, go to GundersonCapital.com. You can see the three stocks that I mentioned. Those are the ones that I know of that I've been able to find that have exposure over there. And, of course, to set up a portfolio review, a financial plan review with us and utilize the portfolios that we manage here that are our own. We don't farm out the money management. You can give us a call and set up an appointment at 855-611-BEST. And we should get a firm date and location on Houston here within the next couple of days. But it looks like we'll be over there in the Galleria area in early February. And have a workshop and meetings with the folks. My favorite thing to do. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.